Babylon, You Are Everything is a dark drama actual play brought to you by The Heart is a Dungeon and sponsored by Evil Hat Productions. Please take care of yourself and check the content warnings listed in the episode description. And thank you so much for listening.
There was once something that needed to be said. But this isn't a story as old as that. Our telling is one of the sea and of the land, of a promise long broken and a secret still kept. Babylon, your name is a bitter prayer, but I pray it, and if you must know, if you simply cannot look away, lean against me here and sway with me, and I will start from the beginning. But you must understand, this is a story about everything.
Well, good morning and good day, Babylon. It's DJ Bentham coming to you live from Babel 73 AM, tucked away safely atop Compass Mountain. It's going to be another great day out there with scattered showers and light thunder on the island. Bring an umbrella, because it's going to be a wet one. Here are the headlines. Tomorrow, of course, is Fairy Day, so finish writing that letter, preparing that guest room, and don't forget you only have until about 4 PM before the ferry heads back to the mainland. This Saturday will also be the weekly farmers market in the crossroads of the downtown fountain. So pick up that fresh produce and maybe take a walk around. You might find something new out there. The following Friday will be the monthly town dance. So put that on your calendar, get your best dress shoes, and get ready to shake off those barnacles and mingle, all you lucky singles. Well, that's it for me this morning, but I'll be back tonight for the standard Scuttlebutt Story Hour. Remember your tackle, your island, and all those brave children of Babylon still fighting overseas for our freedom and dignity. This is DJ Bentham, signing off from Babel 73 AM.
We see the Little Acorn, a motel in the town of Babylon on the island of Babylon. It is early morning, the daylight still believing it can break through the storm clouds or the heavy fog which surrounds the small and secluded town, as though it was hiding from the world, or hiding the world from it. The motel is simple, dark brown wood, the occasional painted handrail or door jamb. There are 12 rooms for company, half a dozen above and half a dozen below, and two large units for the full-time staff. There is a gift shop and a large welcoming communal room for the occasional meal, gathering, or a sudden slow dance for no reason. The motel is already awake and ready to begin a day. The prayers have been said, the hair tucked gently behind the ear, the kettle having already begun to warm. Robin, when we turn your card and see you, if only for the first time, what do we see?
I begin my morning routine in my room. I chose the smaller of the rooms because I love the huge window in here. I always let the morning sunrise come through while I'm preparing my morning tea. Even though I try my best not to, I can't help but monitor the bottom of my teacup for any omens that look particularly ominous. But quickly, get dressed. Typically wearing whatever thrifted thing I've found or kept. Dark grays, usually a long gray suede coat that I wear in the morning. A hand-knitted scarf for Desdemona, my pigeon, to nestle into. She will typically ride around on my shoulder while I'm getting ready. I have long, kind of shaggy, ashy blonde hair, a little darker at the roots. I really don't like it when it gets in my eyes, and so my bangs are haphazard, home cut, all kinds of different lengths. And my room is quite cluttered with branches I've collected, rocks, things I've knitted, but I'm not very good at it, honestly. The last thing I grab before I head outside is my pale blue umbrella that I've painted a yellow little sunshine onto with fluffy white clouds, and I guess they were supposed to be birds. I don't know if you can really tell, but you definitely see what I would more describe as nesting than decorating. I've made sure that there are protections in place for the spiders that protect certain corners. The gardens that I've planted are several years old now. And I have made it my own in certain ways. I've barely touched the inside of the hotel in the years I've been here, maybe 4 or 5 years now. But the outside I have turned into my own little ecosystem that's had some time to get established. It has very much been made my own.
And this is the beginning, so we follow you into the garden. The sound of bird, of thunder, of tide, and of movement. The occasional mast from a fishing vessel jutting through the fog, haunting the horizon like ghosts of trees long cut and baptized. We tuck that card away for now, and we reach for a book. We open it easily, for we marked this page. This is where the story begins. Sylvia, what do we see when we see you resting upon this time?
When you tenderly walk up the stairs and arrive at my door, and maybe somehow you slip through the cracks and you pan into my room, and I think the first impression you get is someone who is very clutter-minded, almost. Pieces of projects that have been started but not finished, laying almost in every corner of this front room. Crochet needles still in the middle of doing a stitch. Small dollies that have been started but not even picked back up after maybe a row or two. I think if you look at it, you're not sure if it was stopped because of boredom or because of difficulty. You'll continue through this space. You'll see that there is one mug placed on the counter with the stain on the counter, not deep enough to indicate that that's a sure habit yet, but indicating that it might be becoming to be. And I think we see Sylvie sitting on the foot of the bed, very carefully, gingerly putting on her outfit for the day. There is this sort of forest green knit shirt that has a turtleneck. Maybe she doesn't have a ton of things like this in her wardrobe, and so she's being careful. She puts that on gingerly. She puts on a pair of dark brown slacks in which she tucks her shirt into. Puts on a pair of regular sort of brown loafers. Takes a second before getting up and walking over to the little vanity she has in the corner of her room. Kind of haphazardly putting on some rouge for the day. Kind of doesn't look entirely blended by her fingers. She takes a second, looks at herself in the mirror, squints a little, gets up, and then walks to the kitchen. I think there's some tea that Robin had given her. Settles on one that smells a little bit like orange blossoms and the earth. Carefully puts it in a small pouch, puts it in her teacup. Has her small cup of tea in the morning that Robin has said that helps her get ready for the day. And then heads out the door, I think, for her regular shift downstairs.
Outside your window is a different type of garden, the city of Babylon on the island of Babylon. Rustic and scattered homes and buildings for this small town that houses about 100 people or so. The fog is so thick that you can see it in the streets and imagine fish swimming through the windows to die within the bedrooms. The structures are rather plain in tone and in palette, but the island does not mind and responds to it with deep, lush green grass and trees surrounding. And as though it's a melody that moves through this entire scene, there are sunflowers everywhere, in soil, through stone, from roof shingle and abandoned tackle box. They grow everywhere. And as you turn to leave your room, we turn to the garden once again, and we see Robin.
When you see this space, it's clear that this is really where I call home. If my bedroom is simply a nest of necessary comforts, this is the place I've put my heart into. There's kind of organically a little maze of walkways that go between the different blocks of motel rooms. And every space and nook and cranny is filled with some of it naturally occurring plant life, but a lot of things that I've introduced because they can work harmoniously or serve a purpose. sprawling chamomile plants producing cute little white and pink flowers that sometimes get gathered for tea. A lot of cooking herbs, some that I just find to be beautiful. A lot of blackberry bushes and asparagus that keep coming year after year. Caring to the garden is less about watering and weeding, and more about monitoring the relationships between the plants, making sure nothing I've introduced is taking up too much space or taking resources from the native plants. And I do have a routine of filling all of the little bird feeders. I've collected so many of them. Some of them I made, some people gifted me. There's also a growing collection of wind chimes, and it gives the place a little bit of a whimsical, if melancholy, off-tone vibe as I walk through with my blue umbrella. Here Desdemona does fly off my shoulder and follows me around, sometimes fetching a small tool or pointing out perhaps some berries that are ready to be picked. I spend as long as I can get away with here before it's time to collect whatever's ready and go inside to make breakfast.
Hey there, this is Rara, and we're about to go to a short ad break.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys,
Kamari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, "This bar's next."
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To death metal Viking cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl in a special Gertrude world. Happy birthday, happy birthday. I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's Snake Eyes minus two. That's a zero.
Snake Eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones.
And get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck!
Thank you.
The chimes ring out as they are greeted by this morning wind moving in from the north. You see Fractal Jefferson, the only current guest at the Little Acorn. A young poet from the mainland who vacations here whenever the burden of inspiration becomes too much for him. He's a mixed-raced, tan, male-presenting figure, around 23 or so, with a shaggy black shock of hair and a slight beard with gray eyes. He wanders barefoot through the sand at the edge of the water with his journal in tow. When he hears your chimes, he turns and raises a pensive hand in greeting from afar.
I'll wave a hand to him. I would prefer to get inside before he comes and talks to me if I can get away with it, so give him a friendly wave and quickly gather what I've been able to harvest from the garden and head inside. I hope he finds his way, and I'm glad he wasn't murdered or anything last night. I thought I heard a scream. I don't know, maybe I was dreaming.
I think once we go back to Sylvie, she's in this very small space. I wouldn't even call it a shop yet. She's opening drawers that have these tiny little trinkets in them. Wooden carvings. Various things. One of her favorites are these little keychains that say Little Acorn on it and have a little acorn carving on it. Puts those up on these little wire racks that hold them. Puts down these little figurines. I like to say right now it's all just one like small shelf. Within this larger space that can also be used for feeding people, hosting dances, things like that. Right now, it's just a small little corner. There's a sort of look in her eyes that shows that there's some sort of care as she places each of these things down. Almost like putting out a welcome mat, but with each of them. I'm hoping that they get taken. And she makes sure she puts each of these down. It probably takes longer than it should. Adjusts it, the angle of it slightly because didn't like the way that it was sitting. Didn't get its good side. Puts it down, keeps adjusting at each and every single trinket she puts up there. Take a step back. I think once she takes a step back, you get a good look at her. She has short, dark brown hair. A young, round face. An Asian femme-presenting woman. Average height, 5'4"-ish. And she still kind of has a baby face, I would say. And she looks proud at this moment, putting everything up. You can tell that out of this whole motel that she enjoys keeping this corner.
When I first come inside, I would love to catch Sylvie in that moment of arranging her shelf. I won't say anything. I hope she doesn't even notice me. But I do watch for a second and smile before heading back into the kitchen. When we only have one guest, I usually don't go too wild with cooking. I put together some berries and maybe some yogurt or something in case Fractal wants some breakfast. Make sure there's some coffee and tea available and just throw together a quick vegetable soup. It'll just stew all day. Maybe come back and throw in some more stuff later. I would much prefer to get out to the garden again if I can. I have kind of a melancholy about the way I move through the world. I don't make too much noise or draw too much attention to myself, but I'm always friendly and pleasant when I run into people. Most of my social needs are fulfilled by chattering with Desdemona as we walk through the garden. I haven't really stopped thinking about that scream. Maybe it was nothing, but I think I could probably stand to pick up a few things for the hotel anyway, so maybe a little walk into town today.
I think our paths cross as I'm going to the front desk, and maybe Robin is coming out of that area and kind of like cross paths for just a moment. Robin!
Good morning. I was actually thinking about going into town. Do you need anything?
Oh, I don't... Kind of looks around. I don't think I need anything. How was the garden this morning?
Seems like everything's in order. Everyone looks happy.
That's always good.
My pigeon kind of fluffles and makes little chirp noises right next to my head, but I just don't even acknowledge that that might be unusual for you.
Does that mean that she's happy, or...?
Oh, of course, she's usually... Oh, did you meet Desdemona? You can call her Mona.
Mona, Desdemona. I like that. And then I'll kind of, like, put my, like, hand and, like, my finger out to see if, like, I can, like, scratch her little head or something.
She looks at me, like, looking for a cue, and I nod, and she nuzzles you a little with her beak.
And I'll just give, like, a little scratch on her head. Don't let me keep you. I'm all right. Thank you for the offer.
Okay, well, I'd be happy to make dinner later if you want to maybe sit down, get to know each other a little bit.
That would be great. Yes.
See Elena Bunyan, a very short ginger femme with strong arms from work and a very well-practiced smile. She finishes up with a customer at the counter before he heads out into the street.
If I'm being honest, I didn't really have a grocery list, so I kind of do a quick scan. Oh, I guess we could use some beans, maybe. Grab a couple things I know we'll use eventually. I want to wait to talk to Elena once she's finished with her customer, but my real intention here is listening to the chatter of the community. I don't particularly want to ask in case maybe I was dreaming, maybe it was in my head or just some kids or something. I'm feeling out if there's any concern in the community.
Morning, Robin. Shopping for the motel or for yourself today?
Hello. Yeah, just a couple things. You don't happen to have any seats from out of town, do you? You know I have to ask.
Not till tomorrow, unfortunately. If that seed woman is on the ferry, cross your fingers, maybe we'll get something special.
I will be crossing all my fingers. Everything, well?
I mean, it's raining again. But I do have some bacon chocolate and a package coming from my brother from the mainland. It was my birthday last week. But that's about as exciting as my world gets.
Well, of course I couldn't forget your birthday. I'll pull a little bundle of chamomile from my pouch.
I wasn't going to ask, but I wanted to. Thank you so much.
Happy birthday, though.
Another one here on Babylon.
Yeah. Another one. Here.
Well, drat. She told me to wait. She really did. Oh, rubbish.
Sylvia, you are at the front desk of the Little Acorn, and you hear a bit of a ruckus outside the front door and windows.
Don't love how that sounds. I think I'll try to get up to meet whoever this is at the front door.
There is a wonderful moment where you both pull at the same time. Like most joys, it does not last long, but we see this from the side, both with a hand on the door, if only for a short time. The dance ends, and the door opens, and you see a dark-skinned elderly gentleman with a friendly look and a bushy mustache, more dressed for the streets of the mainland than the muddy path of Babylon.
Hello, miss. I'm here to get a room. My apologies if you're not ready for guests. I didn't come on the ferry.
Hi. No, we were expecting new guests tomorrow, but we'll gladly get you a room. And do you need help?
Sylvia, on the ground, having fallen from a cart, you see a large diving bell, wide and tall, enough room for two or three people at once.
That's all right, that's all right. I dropped some of my things, but my daughter should be along soon. She can give me a hand.
Oh, all right. Maybe you're right, but if your daughter's here and needs help, I can help her, but I don't know if I could, looks at it, do it by myself. I can get you two rooms. How long are you staying?
Well, we're renting a house in town, but it's not quite ready yet. Could be a few days, could be ready tomorrow. So, how about 3 days?
I'll tentatively put you down for 3 days. What are the names that I need to put the rooms under?
Kristoff's the name. Kristoff Wilson.
All right.
My daughter's Abigail. Abigail Wilson.
Okay, and she's writing this down in the little, like, book that they have to keep all the names. All right, Kristoff. I have you and your daughter down for 3 days, but I need a little asterisk next to it saying that you might be out tomorrow. Is there anything that you need right now?
As you speak, he pulls out a handful of bills and then remembers where he is, and he puts them away, opening a small pouch instead to count out a few silver coins.
Take all the coins and slide them into, like, my palm, and then I'll turn around, grab two keys, and slide them across the desk. All right, two rooms.
If I may be so bold, this town is much nicer than quarantine. Nicer than most of the island, at least. From what I've seen of it the past few weeks.
Oh, just sightseeing?
Not at all, miss. We're here to explore the shallows surrounding this island.
Oh.
Through boats, cartography, and diving bells.
Oh, exciting work.
We should be here for a few seasons. Maybe you'll find yourself in a diving bell someday.
I mean, I would love a tour one day, so...
It's a plan. Thank you so much for your hospitality, miss. You have a splendid day.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
Robin, you see Ernest Teal, a brown-skinned older gentleman that fills the role of law enforcement, so to speak. He's fairly trusted by most of the community and a retired soldier from the war that is still ongoing. You see him finish a serious-looking conversation and nod as he walks in your direction.
Morning, Ernest.
Morning, Robin. It looks like it's raining again.
Everything well?
I actually wanted to talk to you about last night. Any chance either of you heard a scream fairly loud and fairly late?
Yeah. I was a little curious if it was just... if I was dreaming.
I wish it was as simple as a dream. We're going door to door and we haven't found anyone missing... well, at least not yet.
Didn't come from our place. We've only had one guest and... seen him this morning.
Well, I'm glad you two are safe. I'm going to finish up my round, but I'll check the little acorn off my list.
Good luck. I hope everyone's okay.
The middle of the day is usually the quietest time. Usually there's activity in the morning as folks get up, do their morning rituals and things like that, head out the door. Nighttime, people come back, need a bite to eat, and go to bed. There's that small dull in the middle of each day. And this is the time where I try to learn something. Attempt to. Today's activity is cross-stitch. I have a small amount of dark brown thread threaded through a needle as I try to poke it through the fabric back down to make a cross-stitch. If you cross-stitch or stitch in general, there's a very particular noise it makes as the needle punches through the fabric. The thread gets pulled up. You punch the needle back through the fabric. You pull the thread through. And after a while, it gets very monotonous if you don't have anything else to do. And I think that while I'm trying to stitch a small brown circle, I stopped a quarter way through because the sound was just too much of the same. And I'll set it down in front of me. I'll get up and I'll go to turn on the radio.
When we look at your face, the look that we see, does it more resemble an artist that is struggling to finish a piece or the shame of one that feels the pressure to finish a piece?
I think it's more the look on my face is the shame of someone who knows they're not going to finish it.
I don't always get to do this. It's definitely how I prefer to spend my afternoons if I can. But since Sylvie has started working here, I've returned to an old habit of taking afternoon cat naps in my room.
And you dream of sunflowers, of rain not rain, a tree that should have never been found. And then in the background of all of it, a relentless and hungry bloom.
I'm Feral Moonbeam, and I'm playing Robin Tolliver.
I'm Kim, and I'm playing Sylvie Ito.
DJ Bentham was played by Kendo. Elena Bunyan by Kelly. Christoph Wilson by Ian, Justin as Ernest Teal, with Gina Susanna being the content warning cutie for this episode. And I'm Rara, but that's enough about that.
Babylon, You Are Everything is a TTRPG drama using the Thirsty Sword Lesbian System from Evil Hat Productions.
This is a many-sided podcast.